It's quite forward-thinking. There's a lot here, but we are inundated with the blogs, with the naysayers, and the people who live in the past, and they can only think of how that organization was formulated, basically based upon whites against blacks, and we don't, that sort of thing. But that has transgressed. That's not, no longer the case.
It's no longer there.
Absolutely,
yeah. It's
not.
Changed.
But they won't let us. They won't let them die. I mean, won't let that issue die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just, that's why I'm saying it's hypocritical. People change. Give a second chance. Let's see what's going on. I mean, you cannot just stay in the past, and you cannot become futile about the betterment of mankind. That's what this is all about. Why are you mad that we are trying, not we, but the populace, the green world, trying to do something to save the world? Is anything wrong with that?
Evidently, to certain people on the neocon right and to the church fundamentalists,
why?
The world's going to end soon anyway. So it doesn't matter what the environment is.
Why not take it out as beautifully as it can be? We're destroying the world, polluting the world. It just doesn't take brain surgery to understand that.
Look, I
more when trash,
when I
more
deal,
filth.
When I deal with anti-global warming fanatics,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand why it's okay to, like, save the rainforest. It's okay to save things. It's not going to hurt you to do it. It's not going to hurt you to use fewer plastic bottles and fewer paper towels and recycle and all that. It's not going to hurt you to do it.
Drink some water. You'll analyze it chemically. You'll see how it has changed and how the diseases and so forth are springing forth, new strains of viruses. I mean, it just goes on and on. And simple people just can't seem to fathom what they're told, what they're shown. And the big people, they control it all. They got to keep the money coming.
You make an interesting point. A lot of people don't care. They just don't care.
Too busy with their own survival.
Yeah.
Too busy with
and
diversions.
Everything is so far away. I was listening. I watched a program last night of evangelical Christians going to the North Pole in search of global warming. They're skeptical about global warming, but they went with a bunch of scientists up there, evangelicals, okay? And for once, they saw something that was really happening and really having real effect on people, and it changed their attitudes. And these were ministers, preachers, you know? And it was kind of exciting to see that it was affecting people's heads. But at the same time, there are these fanatics who are opposed to doing anything. Usually there are two sides to things. In the global warming thing, there are three sides. There are the alarmists who go too far and say, oh my God, we're doomed. We're going to run out of water in 10 minutes and we're going to die 2 days later and it's going to be terrible and we're not doing anything about it. Then there are the good skeptics who look at things carefully, weigh it out, see that there are changes. It's just, you can just see it. And who are doing something about it. And then there are the fanatics who are opposed to it. It's a three-sided triangle there.
I can sum it up in a simple analogy.
Uh-huh.
If you spend more money than what you have, you're eventually going to go bankrupt.
Ooh.
If you spend more of your resources than are being replenished, you're going to go bankrupt. And if you continue to pollute the atmosphere, you're going to go bankrupt. So just very simple things. You know, anybody could see that, but somehow or another, the powers that be don't want you to see that.
Something like that.
They got to keep money coming. Let's get 10 raises in the next 10 years for the Congress and better benefits for Congress, but forget about the people.
Whatever happened to service? Why is everything about profit, not about service, not about actually doing things?
Yeah.
What's wrong? Something's wrong with that picture.
Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame, their life, their agenda. We're so militant, so self-involved that we just don't have time to care. We don't have time to think about anybody else. You see them sitting on the bus and somebody will get up for you. Maybe they won't. But little things like that can become big things. And that's what we're trying to do here at Kill Radio, I think. Take a lot of little good things and make them big things and have the folk out there to join in on it. Make your contribution. Do what you can.
Help. Help. There's still the rally going on downtown. This is Bennett and Tony here at Kill Radio. And we're going to go back to music for a couple minutes.
This
hopefully we'll get some more phone calls.
Free Internet Radio.
Radio the way it's supposed to be.
KILLradio.org.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Mutated my veins and mouth to kept the chuggy with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the Luger and the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat. Till it came sane, I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your fruit stand and burning down the trailer park. Because one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in a bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine doja. The daytime crap of the folk singer squad.
You are on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bennett. This is James.
Good.
I have a gentleman named Tim who just finished speaking to the crowd here. And we have, like, a huge crowd. Tim, how many people would you say are here?
Idea. I haven't even gotten a count yet. It's a lot. I was really surprised when I got up on the stage and I saw how far it went back. Because when we first got here, there wasn't that many people, and I was getting really worried with the fires. I thought maybe that kept people from here, but I got up on the stage, and man, it made my heart pound. It made me feel good.
Excellent.
Can you, you said that your son had suffered PTSD, and it says here TBI. Can you explain TBI, please?
Yeah, TBI is traumatic brain injury. What it is, there's all degrees. A lot of people will hear that and they'll think it's like, you know, a really bad, bad brain injury. But there's all different degrees of it. It's kind of like even like, I guess you could describe it like shaken baby syndrome. It's where, like, my son was in four Bradleys that hit IEDs directly. And so their brain is being shaken and it tears away from the skull. He's got several tears in his brain and then he's got damage in the frontal lobe and in the back of his head. Right now he's taking about 10 medications. He's 23 years old. But TBI is one of the problems that so many are coming back with. It's like a silent, it's like PTSD too. People don't know they have it. And so there's not a lot of them are getting help that they need.
And this is something that you don't hear on mainstream media at all.
Not at all.
I've noticed. Could you spend a couple of minutes to tell us more about your son before and now?
Well, my son, he's currently 23 years old. He just got here. He's a sergeant in the U.S. Army. He was with stationed with the 1st Armored Division in Baumholder, Germany. He did over 24 months in Iraq. And then the last tour, it was one of the worst ones he'd had. And that's where he got the bulk of his injuries. One time while he was on patrol, he fell off the second floor of the building, and he hurt his back and neck and got compression fractures. That's where he got all the brain injury, and that's where he saw so much horror, seeing friends killed and everything, that's what created the PTSD, and also seeing innocent people killed in the street.
And basically, did you support the war before he was deployed?
I never supported the war. What happened was when Ryan joined, he went on a delayed entry program. The war hadn't started yet. And so he wanted to do it. We tried to convince him not to, but he's 18. He can sign a contract. And then when the war started, we thought it was going to be maybe a couple of months. and that he would never be deployed. And within a short time, he was deployed, and he was over there. And then they offered him, while he was over there, he was 19, they offered him, they said, if he would go to Iraq, because he was supposed to be in a non-deployable unit, that he would get ranked quicker, and he would not have to pay taxes on his income. So at 19, he thought that sounded cool, so he went to Iraq. And that was his first deployment in 2003 and 2004. And one of his buddies, his roommate from Germany, was killed, I think within the first month. And it all came real. He aged overnight.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Do you have any other, is there anything that you'd like to share about your son that you didn't have a chance to speak or have a chance to say when you were on the podium?
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's a soldier first, and that's what, you know, a lot of people attack us and think we don't support the troops. We do. We're the ones that send them the things they need. My son needed cleaning equipment for his rifles when he was over there, and he didn't have all his body armor, weapons, and things like that. But he's just a soldier, and he stayed because the person standing next to him was people that he, like his buddy that was killed, they had done two deployments together. And it's about survival, as he says. They don't understand the politics. They're just there to survive and get home.
And you mentioned earlier that he has PTSD and TBI. And we spoke about it before I called in. Could you share with everyone right now what your son's status is with the military right now?
Okay, currently, like, he just got back. He was out in the field. He's on restricted duty, which, you know, is amazing. It's funny, out of those three injuries he has back injuries, PTSD, and TBI. The back injury will keep him out of Iraq more than the other two because they are sending people over with PTSD and TBI. He's currently here in California now, and what we understand now, within 6 months, he's going to be medically discharged. And then we're going to see where it goes from there. But he currently just goes to doctor's appointments all the time.
Why 6 months?
I think they have to work with getting him well right now, trying to treat all things. He's doing much better. He's got a very strong wife that has stood by him through this whole thing. And because there's so many soldiers come back and our military personnel that come back, and they end up getting divorced. They're suicidal. They're self-destructive. They're self-medicating with alcohol and stuff. So he's been lucky. He's got a wife that stood by him. He's gone through some really tough times. He can't sleep at night. I remember one day he called me and he said, "Dad, I've set up for two nights with the lights on." You know.
Well, Tim, thank you again for thank you for your time, and again, thank you for sharing. Okay. Thanks again, Bennett. That's it for us here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be taking off shortly. Tony Valdez is here. He's going to be hanging out for the phone calls in the next hour.
Okay, yeah. If we have anything further, we'll give you a call.
All right. Thanks a lot, James.
Thanks for everything,
Ben. Stop the war, man.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
See you again. Bye.
Okay. Well, I'm coming to the end of my time here. There's still events happening downtown. You can still head down there if you want to. Let's finish what I started earlier here.
Hanging from a pigeon wing. If I can't write, if you can't relate, trade the cash for the beef, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
Mr. Mom.